846 4CA.
Yes, it's 17 minutes past 10 here on 846 4CA. Now, something a little bit different. We're going to have a look at the issue of psychedelic therapies for some mental illnesses. Now, it was a bit of a surprise when the Therapeutic Goods Administration made a surprising announcement that from 1st of July, so just coming up very soon, authorized psychiatrists will be able to prescribe MDMA for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and psilocybin for treatment-resistant depression. Now, of course, MDMA, commonly known as ecstasy, and psilocybin, which most people might know as magic mushrooms. So they're otherwise illegal in Australia, of course, but interestingly that the official body, the TGA, has effectively approved, obviously in very limited cases, but still it's a fairly landmark occasion. So I just thought we would have a chat about that. We've put in a call now to Professor Colleen Liu. Now, Colleen is a researcher at the Black Dog Institute, of course, do fantastic work for mental health in this country. She's also with the University of New South Wales based in Sydney. Professor Liu, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thanks for being with us. Now, I guess, first of all, were you surprised? I know that the announcement was made in February, but was it a surprise for the TGA to make this announcement?
Look, Gavin, I think it was a surprise to many people, and particularly for the psilocybin for treatment-resistant depression, because the evidence, although very promising, is just emerging. We do have more evidence for the use of MDMA or ecstasy, together with psychotherapy for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. And I do understand that overseas, you know, for example, in the US, the government body that's responsible for regulating drugs is going to be considering later this year whether that should become clinically available. But where we are in the whole evidence pipeline for psilocybin and treatment-resistant depression is a bit earlier. So, yes, overall, I was surprised.
Tell us then about, particularly interested in psilocybin, magic mushrooms. Now, when you say that the research isn't quite there, what is the early research telling us about any effectiveness or otherwise?
Look, the early research is certainly very promising. So we have, you know, what we would consider early stage studies. So, you know, when you develop a new treatment, you first of all do it in small numbers of people, and often what we call open label. So everyone receives the active treatment just to see what it's going to look like without any sort of placebo control, so that you see whether you're getting a signal. And those early studies certainly look promising. Then you progress in terms of, you know, making sure we've tested things properly before we say to the public in general that, yes, we know that this treatment works and it's safe. You do need to test it against like a placebo control so you can see, you know, what is due to expectations, what is due to the whole treatment experience, like coming and going and spending many hours with someone as opposed to the specific therapy. So we have made initial steps along that pathway, and those studies are emerging. We don't yet have any, you know, large studies of those for psilocybin in depression. They are now being done, but that is yet to come out. Mm. So we're early on in the evidence. Mm.
And what do psychedelic drugs, I mean, how can they help? What do they do to the brain? What do they help people with?
Yeah, so they have profound effects. So, and you can see this on some of the online internet, you know, videos of what it looks like when someone is having these treatments. But after you take the drug, you often experience quite sort of dreamlike experiences is probably the best explanation. And in some ways, they might allow your brain to free up its way of thinking to make different connections. The same way that you do, you know, often with dreams, you review things that have happened in your life, but they're kind of presented in a completely different light. And then the idea is that combined with therapy, you might have new insights, you know, new breakthroughs in terms of how you're understanding things and how you're able to deal with things, and that might help you, you know, in for example, getting over depression that hasn't responded to other treatments.
I'm reading here you describe it a little bit as a bit like rebooting the computer. And when someone is suffering from a mental illness for an extended period, their brain can become stuck in certain negative thought patterns. So there you go. It's interesting,
right.
Professor Liu, that when, you know, there's often a lot of concerns about, well, I guess all types of drugs and narcotics and psychedelics among them, that, you know, it's just seems odd to me that it often concerns that they can contribute to mental health issues, and yet here they are being used as a treatment. I mean, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Oh, and look, one of the things I think really important to say, Gavin, is that in all of these studies, people are selected very, very carefully before they're given the treatment. So anyone not just who themselves has had an episode of what we call psychosis, where you've been a bit out of touch with reality, but even if you have any family history, in other words, you might even have a slight genetic predisposition to that, all of these people have been excluded from the studies. So, for example, if we went to the general population and gave, you know, 100 people this drug, it's you know, possible that some of them might end up actually developing some serious mental illness, which hasn't been seen by and large in these studies because people have been very, very carefully screened. Yes. So I think these are some of the kind of the important details that might not be immediately evident when people just hear, oh, look, this is a, you know, really exciting new treatment. And if you haven't, you know, got better with other treatments, you know, this might be the treatment for you. And I think the other, a few other really important things to say, because when I speak to some people who come and see me as a clinician, you know, should I have this drug, and we talk through some of the things, they often say, oh, we didn't realize that. Because when you hear the, you know, the general reports, there are things like you have to come off your other medications, which for some people is very difficult.
Yes.
Also that, you know, a lot of people are thinking this is kind of like the last resort when every other treatment hasn't worked for you. But the studies actually haven't examined these treatments in those kind of people. They've actually treated people who have illness that's not that difficult to treat. So I think that's the other mismatch between how people are perceiving this treatment and what has actually been studied.
Which why it is, I think, such a surprise that the TGA has approved it. But anyway, I should also have said at the start, Professor Liu, that you are a clinical psychiatrist as well as a researcher there at the Black Dog Institute and UNSW. So you certainly have incredible first-hand experience. Yeah, I mean, can you just walk us through, is it too early to know what is the process here? I mean, what type of people qualify? I know you've touched on it a little bit there, but yeah, do we know yet? I mean, what type of people will be able to be prescribed these psychedelic drugs? You know, how much, how often will they be taking them? I know that will depend on individual cases, but yeah, what can you tell us about the practical rollout of these psychedelic drugs?
So in both cases, the psilocybin for depression and the MDMA for post-traumatic stress, it's going to be people who already had standard treatments and not got better with that. It's not going to be like, oh, the minute you feel depressed, let's go and have some psilocybin.
Yes.
So, you know, and I really think it's in each person's interest before you start coming to receive these treatments, and remembering that there is no subsidized funding for that. So, you know, some of the public discussion has been that these treatments might cost $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for a treatment course, where you might have, you know, somewhere between, say, one and three sessions where you receive a dose of the drug, and then with hours of psychotherapy before and after. But we're not talking about a cheap treatment. And then also remember that you have to come off your medications, which for some people can really destabilize them and make them extremely unwell or even at risk. So it's not something that one undertakes, you know, lightly. And personally, I think it's in each person's best interest, if you're thinking of this treatment, to first have had standard treatments from a psychiatrist, you know, to see whether those work for you, rather than telling your GP to refer you to a, you know, clinic providing these treatments, you know, where your GP has, say, given you a couple of antidepressant medications and they haven't worked. And it's often a lot more that a psychiatrist could look at in terms of understanding the problems, what kind of combinations of treatment might be optimal for you. I really think it's in your best interest to go through that step first before rocking up with your, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 to a clinic to have this kind of treatment. Because it might be the case where you technically tick the boxes, oh, I've, you know, had to, you know, antidepressant medications with my GP, I haven't got well, therefore I want to do this, I'm willing to pay the $30,000. But I don't know that it's actually in your best interest to go to, you know, straight to that step rather than seeking more general treatment from a psychiatrist first, which might be more targeting what needs to be done.
Is there any danger here of legitimizing MDMA, ecstasy, and magic mushrooms? I mean, if the TGA says, well, you know, it's all approved and if you don't want to spend that $30,000 or whatever it is there any danger, do you think, of legitimizing those drugs for people who are suffering some, you know, severe depression that they think, well, I'll just go off and try it myself?
Look, it's actually a good point, Gavin. And obviously the TGA is not officially legitimizing, you know, illegal use.
No,
and that within the TGA scheme, it'll be very tightly controlled, both by the TGA and also each state's health department, which has, you know, drug regulation authorities. But you're right. There is a concern that, you know, some people who have either post-traumatic stress or depression, they might have tried, you know, one or two treatments with their GP and then think, oh, I should go to this clinic. I can't afford the $20,000 to $30,000. Let's go and get it on the street. They haven't had a proper assessment of what is the nature of their illness, what is the best way to treat it, or that careful screening before you have some of these drugs. And they could actually come to a lot of harm. You know, what you wouldn't want, for example, is to take some of these drugs where you do have a predisposition to a serious mental illness, like, say, a schizophrenia-type illness, and then have these drugs, you know, triggering that kind of illness. That would be a really bad outcome, because you'd actually end up far worse than you were before you had the treatment.
Exactly. All right, well, we will watch with interest. As I said, from July 1, authorized psychiatrists will be able to prescribe those psychedelic drugs. So we will watch with interest, and fantastic updates as well. We appreciate your time. Professor Colleen Liu, clinical psychiatrist as well as a researcher at the Black Dog Institute and the University of New South Wales. Thank you for your time on the talk show this morning.
Thank you.